Resolution 25-356, moved by Councilor Pekkinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby reconvened into regular open session of Council at
6:36 p.m.
6:36 p.m. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-357, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held August the 19th, 2025. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land in which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they've carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Back into open session, so we'll ask for a roll call once again.
Councillor Marley Haskell.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Nick Bryden.
Councillor Mike Ackman.
Deputy Clerk Mary Smith.
Mayor David Moore. And I guess Chris. Yep.
Chris Bortolo, Chief Building Official.
Treasurer Roshan Kampia.
Thank you. Any declarations of pecuniary and or personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none. We've changed the agenda around a bit, but I think we still have delegations and presentations first. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So we have Pachelbel & Associates Professional Corporation Independent Auditor's Report. So we have representatives here. Mm-hmm. We wish to come forward. I don't know if we have enough chairs. We have to use the microphone so people on Zoom can
hear us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stepping in for Carl Popwell, my partner. My name's Mary Ann Poland. He just happened to have his hip broken and just had a hip replaced. So to stand here would be a little bit awkward, to say the least. In any event, I'm going to go walk you through briefly the financial statements for the fiscal year ended December 31st, 2024. Starting with the independent auditor's report on if you go to page 2, it actually has 2 on the top. It's our opinion that the statements present fairly of the township of McKellar. And this is a generic auditor's report, and we are comfortable that there are no deficiencies in this regard. So if we move on to page 5. Consolidated Statement of Financial Position. I'll just walk you through a couple of highlights here. The accounts receivable was $773,000 last year, $816,000 this year. I'm just rounding for simplicity. Your receivables did go up by $100,000. They went up from $426,000 to $526,000. Having said that, your debenture payable, which is primarily the Craigmore subdivision, went down by $67,000. Going to the liabilities, deferred revenue, note 6, which is on page 14, you'll see the balance at the beginning of the year was $175,000, and it went down to $138,000, primarily made up of federal gas tax and parking rent. Municipal debt, note 7, which follows. The municipality actually took out a new debt instrument for $800,000 during the year, and you can see that on note 15. The note 10 and note 11 is employee benefits and asset retirement obligations, which are very material to your organization or municipality. Your tangible capital assets schedule 1, which is on page Sutter Road was $641,000, and Balsam Road was $113,000 of your cap loss and additions. And your amortization was $800,000 for the year. Moving on to the statement, the next statement of very large number of notes, etc., of operations and accumulated surplus. Your surplus for the year was $888,484 compared to the prior year of $739,000. Again, we adjust your budget because you obviously start with zero, but we have to deduct your capital assets and offset that with the amortization. Also, any reserves, transfers, and in and out also get eliminated as well. So at the end of the year, the accumulated surplus was $18,674,000. So a couple of things we added this year. The West Perry Sound Rec and Cultural Center, which the municipality has an 8.5% interest in, it's become very material. And the reason for the delay in the financial statements has been always last year for the first time, but this year as well. We haven't got up-to-date records. So we are proportionately consolidating 8.5% of that board into the financial statements of the municipality, which is what you own. If you go to note 15, you can see that we've had to use December 31st, 2023 figures because we do not have a December 31st, 2024 set of financial statements. We were provided with internal financial statements, but they are not in accordance with PSAB, so we could not actually consolidate them in these records. So Town of Perry Sound has still not released those draft financial statements, and as a result, we just comment, and if they ever get up to date, I'd like to see that we actually have the same year end and we are covering the same, but the numbers are so material that we actually feel, well, you can see, like, there was $696,000 of revenue that we've added to the consolidated statements of the municipality. So at this point, we're just saying that because we don't have the information, we're just using what we do have. We have another municipality that this has happened as well, where we have a board that other auditors are responsible for getting that board completed. And unfortunately, again, in that instance, it wasn't done in time either, so we've done the one-year lag. So we've seen that on a number of municipalities. So outside of that, the reserves, I just want to comment, although it's included, the reserves are part of your accumulated surplus, went up to $2.9 million from $1.4 million. So you have a healthy reserve balance as well. Any questions?
Well, you weren't kidding. We're going through that very quickly. I guess the one question I always had, and Roshan's here too, maybe can help, and it's seeing the accumulated surplus. That's always a little bit confusing. At the end of the year, if we have an actual surplus, I'm thinking of a tangible, an actual figure as opposed to assets, should that be included in the next budget, the next year's budget? And Roshan might want to weigh in on this too.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if we had the actual money in hand somewhere as a surplus at the end of the year of business, should that be included as revenue the next year?
Definitely we can include it in next year's budget. If that's how the council wants, definitely I will include it in next year's budget.
Well, I'm just thinking it gives a fairer picture rather than keeping it all sort of as a reserve somewhere that nobody gets to see. And it's nice to draw on the surplus, yes, but I'm saying it is revenue, so it should be disclosed, should it not, somewhere?
It's part of the financial statement, but again, as we next year we will start the budget process, you will see the surplus from previous year will be part of the budget too.
Okay, sounds great. And then the other question about the recreation center, I'm just, how can they continue to do this, I guess, making it difficult for other municipalities? Is there no legislation saying that they have to be up to date?
Town of Perry Sound still has not filed their financial statements. notice are not online yet, so I don't know when what. We have noticed in ourselves too, we are auditors of 14 municipalities, and there's no question there's been a lot of staffing changes in the municipalities. So as a result, it's just delayed. So, I mean, we've got presentations still happening all through September, October for other municipalities that have still not finished December 31st, 2024. And it's primarily due to staffing shortages and turnover in treasurers.
So I can see from your point of view that you can delay it and do the present time. I'm just wondering about legislation. Is there any, I mean, if we miss certain deadlines, we seem to be in trouble, so.
Oh. Were you in trouble?
No.
They used to be.
If we miss certain deadlines.
No, but they used to be, like the deadline for an FIR was May 31st. The deadline if you didn't file your financial statements, or actually the FIR by August 31st, they would pull back on your OMPF funding. But we haven't seen that at all because as we've been municipal auditors for, I guess, 16 years, maybe 18 years now. As we've just seen the year ends keep dragging, because obviously the auditing has become a little bit more complicated. Ever since COVID, we just have never seen the delay of all other municipalities in trying to get their year ends done. I guess there's just not enough staff to actually, but there's no negative penalties that I'm aware of that I've ever heard that if you're late in filing your audit financial statements.
Questions from council? I have different pages marked here, but maybe you answer them. I guess this is on page 9.
Mm-hmm.
It's just halfway down. Under 1A1,
yeah.
The very last sentence. Interorganizational transactions and balances between these organizations are eliminated. I'm not sure what that meant.
So basically, we take any like the library, for instance. If anything you've advanced to the library, we would actually eliminate that when we consolidate the library. So we take it out of the library's revenues and we take it out of your expenses, so it nets out to zero.
Again, just for the public to hear this, on page 15, at the bottom, and Roshan can confirm this, I guess, because we always concern when we start using debentures.
Mm-hmm.
It says the annual principal and interest payments required to service the municipality's debt were within the annual debt repayment limit of $1,129,369 prescribed by the Ministry of Municipal Affairs and Housing. And I guess we need to hear that, the public needs to hear that, because with the lack of grants and moving forward with different projects, we'll probably be looking at more debentures. And it's more of a question, I guess, for Roshan, and he'll keep an eye, I suppose, on how close we get to that debt limit. So.
Yeah, definitely. When we submit the new application to the Debenture Infrastructure Ontario, they normally look at our limit before they give us the any funding. So definitely I'm going to look at that one, and also the other agency also are looking at the our limit too.
Right. Great. You mentioned on 16, this always concerned council, I guess, too. It's the employee benefits payable, and the whole idea, this is money that we would owe to employees, and maybe again a question for Roshan, but on the spot here, is that all accounted for? You know, worst case scenario, if payments had to be made, if employees had to be paid, is that all in the budget so that it's covered, that the money is there?
Basically, that's the amount we accrue, showing that that's our liability to pay.
Right.
At some point, we have to come up with funding to pay that amount. So that's from a township point of view, we recognize that that's what amount we need to pay. by a certain time, retire, you know, then we have to pay their pension, not the pension, but the sick days, vacation, or whatever.
Okay, so that's an obligation, I guess.
Yeah.
And are we covered if, you know, we're dealing with one person, two people, three people, you know, worst case scenario? I mean, I don't think we're probably covered if everybody walks and we have to pay out the what's required. But how much do we have aside for the budget? Do we have a percentage?
We don't have any percentage.
But your cash balance.
Our cash flow is really good. So
okay.
I'm not worried about that.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
no, your cash went up from 3.8 million in 2023 to 5.9 million.
Okay, sounds good. Any questions from council? This affects the entire municipality. I don't know whether council is interested in opening this to the public for any particular questions they may have.
Sure.
We don't have the auditors come that often, so
yeah. No problem. Sure.
So I'll open to the public, anybody in person who could ask a question, or anybody on Zoom. If you are going to ask or in person, though, I'd like to actually go through the microphone so people on Zoom could hear you. Yes.
Lawrence Rubin. Couple of questions in Roshan, one maybe specifically for you. On page two of the letter to be signed by the municipality, it refers to misstatements. I understand they're not material, but it refers to an attached list of those misstatements and explaining the rationale behind them. I didn't see a list, so I don't know if that, because there aren't any. On page
there
two
are
of the letter.
We've recorded all adjustments.
Okay, it's just it's not part of the package, right? That
okay.
I can see. So I don't know if it was intended
where
to be.
Is it?
On page two of the letter, that the municipality signs.
It must be this letter here?
No, not that.
Oh.
I'm not pressing on that one too.
Oh.
It's the this letter. The first in the statements on page two.
Oh, is that the post audit letter or the engagement letter?
I don't know the title. It's not a title.
It's oh, it's the representation letter.
Yeah.
That's the representation that...
Yeah, they're making to the audit.
Yeah.
So it talks about the statements, but
oh.
It says they're attached, but I didn't see
oh, okay.
It.
Okay.
I appreciate they're not material, but...
No, there are
none.
None.
But there are none?
None.
Okay, all right.
No, we've recorded everything.
Okay, thank you. On the letter, page three of the consolidated statements, so the manager is responsible
yes.
for the statement. It talks about an audit committee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not aware that the Keller Township has an audit committee. I've not seen them reference an audit committee previously, so I'm curious. And this was in last year's letter as well, so I don't know if that should be there or not.
Yeah, this is just a standard format that we take from
okay.
our institute.
Okay.
And so the audit committee is your council.
Right. We've said that regularly, that the council's involved. We don't have a special committee
no.
for that yet.
So they've become, quote, the audit. But the wording is...
But the wording is awkward because it talks about meet with management. Management is Roshan or is management council? I just think it just refers to a body that doesn't exist. That's all.
Okay. I'll take note.
Yeah.
But this is standard for all municipalities.
I appreciate there can be standard templates used, but if there's specific items in there that aren't applicable... Probably shouldn't be included.
Our profession, our profession prefers consistency so that audit reports, irrespective of whether we're doing an audit report for McKellar or for the City of Toronto, it's the same language unless there are issues that need to be specifically identified. So the fact that you don't have a committee that's specific, an audit committee, the generic language covers that. Responsibilities of the management, responsibilities of the board, and that's where the representation letter provides additional detail. So there's several pieces that work together, but we're not permitted to alter the language of that communication, of the auditor's report communication, unless there's actually a reportable error that we need to report upon.
I would say for the ratepayers, taxpayers, they're confusing to refer to a body that doesn't exist.
Again, it's going to say it's
just, yeah.
appreciated
it's a,
that
it's a comment.
Yeah. But I'm surprised the municipality actually shares the management
Well, it's part of the consolidated statement that was part of this package.
I know, but we don't put it as part of the package. Because that is actually an internal between the auditors and management, so.
And final question, maybe more for Rashawn.
Yeah.
Very positive that cash and cash equivalents grew by $2.1 million. I'm curious what makes up the cash and cash equivalents? How are they invested?
Oh, that's more.
So there is no investment. It's all goes to our checking account, and we have very good interest rate on the checking account, so it all is part of the checking account.
Great, thank you.
Great, thank you. Anyone else from the public? Anybody online? Great, well, thanks very much, and we appreciate the good news.
Thank you.
And again, I say the same, thank you for coming in person.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Even if it's hard on the hip.
Yes. It hasn't been a fun summer.
Thank you.
So resolution 25-358, moved by Councilor Keckinen, second by Councilor Ryman. It is all the Council of the Corporation Township of Keller has hereby received the deputation from Pat Hippolyte, how they do read this, an Associates Professional Corporation Independent Auditor's Report for information purposes. Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Yes, now that we have Rochan here, we have another resolution he may speak to. We have resolution 25-359, moved by Councilor Keckinen, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has reviewed on multiple occasions the details regarding municipal insurance for township bridges, and whereas the renewal of this insurance will commence on September the 19th, 2025. Extend through the 2025-2026 term, and whereas Council has considered the addition of specific bridges or alternatively comprehensive coverage for all township bridges, now therefore be resolved that Council hereby approves the following insurance option: comprehensive insurance coverage for all bridges, coverage for all township bridges for the 2025-2026 term at a total premium of $17,773, which provides full assessed value of replacement with a deductible of $10,000 per occurrence. And further, that to accommodate any additional costs that may arise, Council authorizes the Treasurer to reallocate funds from the Hurdville Bridge budget to ensure appropriate financial management and coverage. And further, that the Treasurer is hereby authorized to make the necessary arrangements with BrokerLink to implement the approved insurance coverage. I'll open that up for discussion from Council, but I don't know whether Rochan wants to speak to that. I know we've looked at different scenarios, different options, and this is the one that we put on the table. And I guess the difference is finding the extra money, and it suggests that there'd be money in the Hurdville account. Is that money there? And can we use that to pay the $17,000?
Sure, we do have, and we budgeted $400,000 for the Hurdville Bridge. And we only used $174,000, and there's still remaining of $20,000-$25,000 in that budget. And the Hurdville Bridge project is already done, so that balance is still there to utilize, and we can relocate if council approves from that bridge for the insurance coverage. Again, you know, the insurance coverage regarding the bridges had been part of the discussion on several locations. We discussed during our budget time, and also the representative from the BrokerLink were here a couple of times. They talked about the bridges, and since the renewal process will start next month, and it's right time now. If we want to add the bridges in our insurance, then we have to tell them right now so they can update the policy and they can give us the new policy amount. So the total cost, estimated cost is $17,773 to include all the bridges. bridges. And again, I don't know if councilor looking just a specific one bridge or any other bridges, then the character will be different. But then if council is looking for all the bridges, then the total premium for that for a year is 17,773.
Okay, thank you. That's a good summary. I don't know if council has any particular questions, concerns. I think it's from our past experience that we were a little shocked, I guess, when we discovered what insurance we did have or didn't have when occurrences came about, like the In-Holmes Bridge as an example, and even Herdville Bridge. And we've talked about this before, too, that it may be, you know, insurance poor sort of thing, but when you look at the cost of bridges now for any type of repair, not only replacement, it just takes a real bite out of the budget if you're not prepared for that. And looking at this particular figure, and if we are covered for full replacement value, I mean, I think that's a real bonus. And not that we expect any disasters, but if they did occur, or if something, whether it be natural or man-made, something happens to a bridge, then we make sure that we have the full coverage. I think that's great. It's a big step forward for us. And I think the problem was that when we came into council, we weren't aware fully of the insurance coverage we had and how deficient it seemed to be. And we didn't want to take that out of the taxpayers' pocket. Certainly it's better to be proactive, I think, and have this coverage. If other council members have any comments? Councilor Haskin?
Yeah, I would just say I agree totally that we should have this insurance coverage because like we have seven bridges and they probably, figures I'm looking at, they could value in somewhere between $12 to $15 million. So I think 17,000 sounds like a reasonable figure to make sure that we don't get financially devastated at some point, because even one bridge can put a lot of pressure on us. So I think it's something that we should have.
Okay, any other comments from council? So hearing treasurer's comments as well, I'll put this to the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Thank you, Rochelle, for
thank
all
you.
Your information.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Certainly welcome to stay if you wish. He's gone already.
So, next is the sewage. So I don't know if you want to read the original resolution.
Yeah, I think we'll read the original, put it on the table, and then we'll have our CBO, Chris, speak to it. And, I always think it's better to have it out there before you actually start discussing it. So for those who are aware of this, trying to follow on the agenda, we have some items around. So this is actually 17.1, dealing with the on-site sewage inspections in North Bay Mattawa. So we have resolution 25-360, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin. Whereas some municipalities within the Parry Sound District have recently expressed their intent to withdraw from the North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority, the NBMCA, for the purpose of assuming responsibility for septic system approvals, and whereas MPP Greg Smith has initiated the process of amending the Ontario Housing Code to permit municipalities to assume enforcement responsibility for on-site sewage systems. And whereas the Township of McKellar recognizes that assuming this responsibility would place significant additional demands on the Township's building department, including the need for specialized training and increased staffing. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does not wish to pursue the transfer of enforcement responsibility for on-site sewage systems from the North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority at this time. And further, that the Township will continue to monitor provincial developments and reassess this matter should circumstances change in the future. So I'd open this up for discussion, but just before we do, since we have our CBO here, and Chris, if you wish to come to speak to this, I know you've approached the subject before, but just to bring us up to speed on what you think we should be doing. So.
Well, I agree with the resolution that it should stay with North Bay Mattawa. In 2023, I did the report and presented to council on it, and I gave just a few options that could be considered with regards to enforcement. And I think that if the municipality were to take over enforcement, the only way to do it correctly would be have staff in-house to do that. I think it would be very difficult to have anybody contract those services. The revenue there, if keeping the fees from North Bay Mattawa, would be approximately $35,000 a year. So in order to hire a staff to enforce that, we'd be revenue neutral, we'd be losing money. And it would be either taxpayers' dollars or the building department that would have to cover that cost. And we can't cover the cost if we don't bring in enough permits. One other municipality that I have seen that does that hires an engineering firm to do it, but they're issuing 250 permits a year. On the other side of that is that if we keep the fees, we're taking in a revenue of $35,000 a year. If we don't keep those fees and we lower the fees to any other municipality, like Georgian Bay Township or Archipelago, we're only going to be generating around $17,000. They only charge about $500 a permit. So the revenue is going to be what we decide to make those fees. We don't pay for the service at the moment. In the past, North Bay Mattawa has stopped providing permits to the township, which was not great for service, but they are now continuing to provide those with the new CBO. He has researched the municipality and wishes to kind of correct that relationship. So it's not going to be hindering permits or delaying things as much as it has been over the last couple of years. It is my opinion to have North Bay Mattawa State as the enforcement authority. And I'm happy to answer any questions if I can.
Okay, questions from council?
I just have a comment, not
yes.
a question.
Okay, fair enough.
I think I've said this at other meetings too, that because I lived through it 4 years ago when I built my retirement home and had to deal with the North Bay Mattawa, and Chris, of course, too. And I found them very pleasurable to deal with. Now, the installation contractor pretty much dealt with them mostly, but I did see them on site and stuff like that. And as far as dealing with me, and everything seemed to be on time. There's never any delays because of them or anything. So I think the system that's in place right now seems to be working fine, and I didn't find the costs as they're listed here to be too bad for the amount of work that was being done. So I just can't see the municipality taking on the responsibility of having to worry about that, because that could come right onto our table too. So right now we're subcontracting the whole thing out, and this council has not too much to worry about.
I think even looking at if we took over the enforcement and contracted the services, we'd be paying that contractor to do that service. And we would have to be generating that revenue to pay for them, or it'd be taxpayers' dollars that's paying for those services, where we're not doing that with the Conservation Authority at the moment. It's they're responsible for the enforcement, and they collect the fees and provide us the building permits and reports as required. But I agree that they're responsible for the inspections, failing septic systems, to do all the investigations and anything else that goes along with it. And I think if they're mending that relationship, I think that they should continue with doing
it. Councilor Zula.
So, Chris, the last time we spoke, last year or whatever, you were having problems with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they were giving you, and you're saying that that's all been corrected now. They're giving you the permits. When people come in and ask for a copy of the permit, you're able to give them a copy.
Yep. Yes, that was the previous CBO at North Bay Mattawa Conservation Authority. The new CBO, who they have hired, has reached out and actually called me directly, and was aware of that situation, disagreed with what they were doing, and said he wanted to correct things. It essentially agreed with my stance from the beginning,
mm-hmm.
that it should have never happened, and so now they are providing all permits as they're issued.
So you don't have any problems with them dealing with the septic permits?
No.
No?
No, I'm
just so surprised at the price, at the cost. of everything. Like, I don't understand here, Chris, it says class 4 septic system or class 5 holding tank, residential with 3,000 liters a day design flow, $1,000, and then right below it, it has the same thing and it's 1,200. Why would that be? Exact same wording.
I think one is below 3,000 liters a day and one is above 3,000 liters a day.
Right, you're right.
Yeah.
I see it.
So it's a different cost for the
okay.
I
didn't see
this,
the arrow. Thank
the
you.
System.
I thought, why is that so much more? Okay.
So that's their fees for enforcement. Other municipalities, and McKellar does the same thing with our building department fees for permits.
Mm-hmm.
You can set your fees as what you want, but
right.
they're a bit quite significantly different than other municipalities. I've spoken to the CBO in Archipelago. They keep theirs low just for the reason they want people to get a permit.
Right.
They'd rather them lower their fees to make sure that people are applying to get a permit for their septic system than building it without a permit. So that's why they've kept theirs low.
And do you know, do they have like a person on staff or do they contract Archipelago? Does you
no,
know anybody that contracts?
Archipelago does everything in-house.
In-house.
So they all, CBO, all their inspectors do the septic systems. The one that I have found that does contract is Tiny Township. They have quite a, I think, lucky system. They contract Tatum Engineering to do their
okay.
enforcement of everything to do with Part 8. Which is septic systems, but they also rent office space to take them in their own municipality,
mm-hmm.
and municipal building.
And
so the people that are enforcing it and doing that contracting service actually work in the building that the building department's in.
And is the township setting the fees, or is Tate?
That's one thing I could not find out. The person with Tatum that was supposed to give me that information is on holidays.
Mm-hmm.
So I did speak with the CBO of Tiny, and I just got the gist of the way that they do it, but they are fully responsible for all enforcement. But Tatum also does not do design of septic systems. They're not doing pumping. So if you had a local person here, such as Adams Brothers, there would be a conflict of interest. They wouldn't be able to do the construction and design for something that they're also inspecting. Not just that, if they gave that part up, but if they were pumping a septic tank, there would be a conflict of interest, in my opinion, because they typically would provide a report if a septic tank is failing or close to failure if they
mm-hmm.
see anything. And if they're the enforcement authority, then I believe that would be a conflict. So it would be hard to find somebody locally here that would be willing to do it, but they also give up that part of it.
Okay.
So that's why, in my opinion, I think the best way it could be done would be to hire directly from the municipality and have somebody in, doing it directly for the municipality, not a contract. But again, it costs money to do that.
No, it's just my thoughts. Like I had said before, is if anything we can get away from, if we can do stuff ourselves and get away from like government subsidized whatever. It's always better to me, and like I think the price, the fees could be a lot less. That one years and years ago, it was $37 for a license, you know, for a septic permit, and like that was it. Now you got, you know, a whole list of an extension, and you know, decommissioning and clearances, and oh my God, so many different things. You're charging for a copy of the permit and everything. It just seems like they just bombard the, you know, the taxpayer trying to put a septic in. It's crazy.
Well, the cost of a septic, according to Adams Brothers, is approximately $37,000
yeah.
for one septic system.
Yeah, and it used to be five. And that's because of the Pits and Quarries Act, where you have to, you know, you can't use, you know, they all have to be licensed. So that just drove the price up. But anyways, that was always my thought. And I thought that, like, we have a bylaw officer that's contracted and different things, that maybe we could do this with contracting somebody, but you're making sense what you're saying, so.
And you don't see North Bay Mattawa making any changes to how they govern? You say that they look after everything, the costs?
They do, yeah. Yeah, that's right in the building code. So for change in the Ontario Building Code. If they're doing the enforcement, then it's not costing the township money or our taxpayers' dollars for that enforcement, then why would we change that to contract it to somebody else and have to pay them? There could be a benefit to having somebody in-house just to have a second building department staff, but to put, I think, septic enforcement onto a one-person township is not the correct way to do it. That's why any other municipality that is making those changes, such as Seguin or McDougall, they have multiple building staff. So it's not just delegated to one person.
Okay, any further questions from council or comments?
Yeah, I would just say it's just something I don't think we want coming onto this table. We got people coming for the roads. That's enough for us right now. So we'll keep that away.
The fact that it's been brought to the attention of the municipality to take over enforcement at this time, I don't think that it's off the table in the future. So if it's ever revisited, then we can look at it at that time, but we'd have to review the options and what's actually best at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Deb says, the prices for certain really climb, and it wasn't the best interest of our taxpayers if they wanted to build and they had to put in a septic system, and it's like the fees were something like $5,000 or $10,000. Okay, then we got to start looking at options. But I think it's reasonable.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll call the question then. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. I've also moved another item up. This was 21.2, I guess. Bylaw respecting construction, demolition, change of use, conditional permits, and inspections. So, yeah, before you get away. And you saw which door Roshan went out of. I guess just for clarification on this, before we even start into the document, the one that we have in front of us now is that, unless I got the wrong one, 2024 on top, and yet the other one had a 2025, the one previous.
The previous one that I think you had was just the one that was going to be adopted, but what I understand is Council Mayor would wanted to just see what the changes were.
Right.
So the 2024 version is just highlighting what the changes were.
Okay.
It's the same version, it just has the highlighted changes.
All right.
So really the main changes and the reason for the changes in the bylaw are just because we are changing our fee schedule to have all fees into a fees and charges bylaw. A majority of the changes in the building bylaw itself are just references to the schedules because they had to change the schedule from Schedule A of this bylaw to the fees and charges bylaw.
Right.
So a majority of any of those highlighted sections are just to change the schedules.
And you've already, on fees and charges, you've already updated those?
Yes.
Yeah.
So in the fees and charges bylaw, I have made some changes or recommended changes. I went about these changes by seeing what other municipalities in the Erie Sound Muskoka area are at. We have not updated our fees and charges for the building department since 2019. So it's been 6 years since we have updated any of the fees, and that's just simply because I didn't feel the need. But as inflation happens, everything goes up. But any of the changes that I did propose, I do not feel are very egregious or very high. There is, in the fees and charges bylaw, the current fees and recommended fees. I don't know if council or mayor has any questions about it.
I think Councillor Kekkonen, sorry, you can speak for yourself here. You had a question before.
Just previously, 2018, 2019, we were reviewing the fees and that the building department was charging, and you provided us, I believe, with a comprehensive report to ensure that, according to the fees, the total amount of the fees authorized under Clause C must not exceed the anticipated reasonable costs of the principal authority to administer and enforce this act in its area of jurisdiction. So you have provided reasoning to ensure that the amounts that were being recommended did not exceed the allowable amounts under the act. So I just thought that to align with what you've done in the past, that there would be a report included so that the taxpayers could see the justification of the increases in the fees.
Of course, and I do have that report.
And can we get a copy of that?
Yes, I do have a just as she makes a copy of it. It's just basically a report showing the year-to-year intake of fees and construction and number of permits that are issued every year in the municipality. Yes, the Building Code Act basically states that the anticipated revenue is not supposed to exceed, but that doesn't say that it can't exceed. When it does exceed, it's just a building department reserve that we use for when those permits are low. In the past, forever, in McKellar, I believe we've only had 2 years in the history of the building department that have ever generated a revenue which exceeds what it was to operate for that year. So we do have a little bit of a reserve right now, but the last 2 years have been lower, and we've had to take out of those reserves. But it does not come out of taxpayer dollars because we were able to build that reserve. So I believe right now the reserve for the building department is approximately $74,000. There are low years, high years of the building. It is a complete guess what's going to happen the following year because you can't force people to build. But for instance, last year I believe it was 64 permits that were issued when I have averaged approximately 120 over the last 10 years. So you do have low years where you're acceptable to have that reserve to compensate for that. So the proposed changes are not going to be building a $1 million bank account for the building department. It is just simply trying to keep up with inflation over the years. I do have a comparison chart as well of the municipalities that I compared the proposed fees to, which was McDougal, Lake of Bays, Seguin, and Carling. Any of the proposed fees that I did for the building department are still lower than any of those municipalities, which is surrounding areas. It was just used to basically get a baseline to see where other municipalities are at. Again, I didn't feel like it was necessary to increase it over the past 6 years, but when updating the fees and charges by law, I thought it was a good time to increase them slightly.
Councilor Pickens?
Yeah, it would be nice if there was, like I said in the past, you had provided a comprehensive report that provided total value of the fees issued, which you have here on the right-hand side, but there's no list of expenditures, budget expenditures, so you can't really make a comparison to give a justification that the increase in fees is justified according to what the expenses. So, but anyway, just
there is every year I have done an annual report that shows of all those that have been provided to council.
Yeah.
So I've done that for the 10 years that I've been here, which shows every year what we collect, what the indirect and direct costs are, which I can provide a yearly report on that because they are all done. Is there a date you want like dated back to? I've done it from my time here. It wasn't done prior to that, so I have 10 years of it. Since I've been here for 10 years, so I can provide 10 years of that report.
Just my point is that because, you know, we're making changes to the fee structure, it would be nice for the public to be able to actually see that documentation now when we're actually discussing it at this point in time. So just a simple little note.
Okay.
With this bylaw, I don't know if you want to, does Chris have to go through it all with us, the wording? And I have a number of questions, I guess, or comments about the wording, but I'm not sure whether Chris is part of that or whether this is done up through the office or...
The building bylaw itself?
Right.
Yes, you can ask me.
Okay. These are just technical things, you know, it's the English teacher coming out at me again, but... these are things we comment on before, but we did defer it, so... Not sure if changes were made. We've gone back now to another document, I guess, so I'm sort of repeating myself, but technically, in the 4117, just the word of should be or. And I did touch on the one down below, 413. We've got 4113, which should be 4131. As far as the numbering.
413.
Yeah, it's 413 is the heading. And
okay.
Then we have the sub number.
Okay.
4113, and it should be 4131.
Okay.
So we can be consistent.
Okay.
And then down below for the change of use permits, it'll be 4.2, since we've already used the 4.1. Wants to keep track of these, or whether you are. And then, of course, subsequent to that, all the ones in the 4 would change. So the 411 at the top of the next page would actually be 421.
So just the numbering is opposite?
Yeah, mainly the numbering there.
Okay.
And the 4216, again, the up should be an or. And probably the word the after certify. And 442, the second last line, just insert the word the without the written authorization of the chief building official.
Cool. Right. At one point, just the next line. I'm sorry, the 444.
Okay, I'm not there yet. Go ahead.
Okay. Such working drawings as set out in Schedule B to this file, and now it's changed to Schedule A.
Excellent. Saved me saying. What was your background? You were a teacher too? Make sure Chris caught that one. Got that one?
Yeah.
Okay. And over on 5.2, it's about halfway down. The total value of all work regulated by the permit, just the word value left out, it's about the fifth line down. On 5.2.
Between total and of.
Right.
Fifth line.
Okay.
And I wonder on 6.1 whether, I'm not sure now, maybe it should be project at the end or property. And 6.5, it just got a little convoluted in the fourth line. And upon application by the person whom the deposit was paid. So if we could even change that to just thinking of future generations looking at these documents.
Yeah, the bylaw I didn't change. It was the existing bylaw.
Yes.
The schedules that were changed, but I can make updates. If we're doing it, might as well make the updates.
Yeah, and 6.6, Director of Operations is now changed to Public Works Superintendent.
Okay.
And on 9, the second line, class of building. Just the word out left out.
Okay.
And I wondered now whether you would know this, or Mary, for the repeal of bylaws. It says 2011-14, but my understanding was that was an amendment to 2008-17. So should we be repealing 2008-17 as the original?
We'll make sure that we have the correct.
You can just check on that anyway, yeah. In the actual schedule C, I'm not sure how you receive information, but should email be an option? We've got the phone, cell. I don't know whether you accept email.
For the road, yeah. It's part of the building permit application, so they provide that email on there. I can add it onto the form. But yeah, we do get that as part of the application anyways.
Okay.
But yeah, we can add that.
Just for clarification of that little paragraph down beneath, after the $750 deposit, you're the one who determines about the condition of the road after whether they get that return?
Myself or the public works.
Okay.
Can't determine that.
Okay, so it's IWE, is it?
Yeah.
That's who's signing it, and then I'm just wondering if it should mention Public Works Superintendent as a delegate or opposite or an additional review. But if that's understood and that's taking place, that's fine.
Okay. I think it does say it in the actual road bylaw, but I will.
Yeah, it may. Yeah.
It does. It says the Public Works Superintendent or his designate.
Right, designate. That's it for me. Other council members.
So just some housekeeping.
Mainly, yeah, that one.
And Councillor Keckner would like some added information on fees. Anything else?
Okay. Other questions? Now, the way I look at the resolution is just the first two readings?
Yes.
Tonight? And then the fees and charges, do we hold that, though we've deferred it before, until we get this one done?
Yes.
Because it includes this one,
that's
in a sense, Schedule E. So. Okay.
So the financial information that we requested, so if we're doing third reading, then that information could be included in the next council package for the building permit, building department expenses and permit fees. So it's included in the next council package.
Prior to third reading, that makes sense. As long as Chris has the time to put that together.
The report, so is it just the annual report that you're looking for that basically breaks down the revenue and then the costs, both indirect and direct of operation for the building department?
I think that would suffice. I can't remember exactly what you provided in 2018.
That's basically it. So this is the 2024 report. It just basically says what the total fees collected for the year are, the total of all direct costs, and the total of all indirect costs, and that provides a total. So then it has a total of the total, like, cost of operation, broken down into direct and indirect costs, and then the revenue for the building department for that year.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows the difference.
Yeah, that's good. Do you have the 2000?
I have the last 10 years already done.
But the report that you submitted, 2018-2019 when we reviewed the building department fee increases.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that report just so we can see what the information you provided in that one? I was trying to find it, but I couldn't.
I should have it. I hope I do. It's
okay.
But yeah, I'll try and find that from. I think it was 2019 for that report. So.
Okay,
yeah,
thank
I
you.
Should have that.
That'd be great. Thank you.
And of course, all counselors kept those reports, right? So.
Well, I was looking for.
I should. I should.
Any further questions for Chris?
Not a question, really. Well, I could ask a question. There's one item in there that you charge the road damage deposit. Now it says it's for if you're on, you're crossing a municipal sidewalk, curbing, paved or unpaved highway. I've had people complain to me before about the $750 deposit, and I'm on board for, well, you know what, if the trucks turn their tires and they rip our asphalt or our tar and chip up, yes, unfortunately, somebody's got to pay for it. But as far as it being a gravel road, I just don't see what the grader's going to come along like it always does and grade it out. The person could get a rake out. Or do you think that's necessary for if they're on a gravel road?
What if they have to, their trucks cross a different municipal road that turns onto a gravel road? Then they'd still be responsible for that. So not just at the very entrance.
Oh, okay. Now I get where you're coming
from. But if they're turning onto a fire route off of Burnett's Road onto a fire route.
Okay, so you're covering beyond just where they're driving.
That aspect of it.
Yeah. Right. Okay, that's a good answer.
Further comments, questions? Okay, we have resolution 25-361, and Mary says, I haven't read this one yet. Moved by Councilor Peckin and second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar to hereby give bylaw number 2025-42, being a bylaw respecting construction, demolition, change of use, conditional permits, and inspections, a first and second reading. Any further discussion? All the question, all those in favor? No opposed? Carried.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks again. Same invitation we gave Roshan, if you wish to stay.
Back on schedule.
Okay, we got the resolution. This is 14.1 now.
Yes.
Resolution 25-362, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved the minutes of the August 5th, 2025 regular meeting of council as circulated. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 15.1, have resolution 25-363, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of Township of McKellar has no objections to the approval of consent application number B14/2025 Ward, as applied for by Cameron Ward, subject to the following conditions. Number one, payment of a fee in lieu of parkland is required in the Township of McKellar fees and charges bylaw. Number two, 911 addressing for the proposed new lot. Three, that the applicant convey any portion of Lakeshore Road for severed and retained properties 10 meters from the center line to the Township of McKellar. Four, payment of any applicable planning board fees. And five, that written confirmation be received from the public works superintendent that an entrance permit can be approved. Discussion? I know we've dealt with this one a couple times to get the application correct. In fixing it, I think it's still incorrect. But rather than going the 300 meters now that's on retained for Lakeshore, I think they've upped it to 600 meters. I'm not sure what they're including, but some of that property doesn't touch Lakeshore. It looks like a few pieces severed off. So it looked to me that it's 300. I don't want to hold this up any longer. It's just a technical thing. But whether council's concerned or...
I think it'll all come out in the wash when it's surveyed. I would say I would rather not delay it again, even if we got to add a slight clause onto the resolution that the retained measurement is to be confirmed.
That could work, maybe.
Yeah.
Amendment is that adding number six, that the retained lot frontage is to be confirmed. I'll put the question out first of all on the amendment. All those in favor? Not opposed? That part's carried. And then on the amended resolution as a whole, put out the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Point two, resolution 25-364, moved by Councillor Zulak, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has received consent application number B44/2024 MCK for McKellar to create one new waterfront lot right away in part of lots 32 and 33 concession 4. Township of McKellar is applied for by Fred and Edith Flood, and further that the application is hereby deemed complete. Discussion? This is a previous application. There were various conditions before that had to be confirmed, and I believe we have a letter in our file saying a letter to Patrick Christie of the Planning Board saying that the conditions have been met. I'm just wondering if Council would be interested, since now Council has the authority back delegated to us, that we say that an application is complete, not the staff. And the staff is confirming that it's complete, but we have nothing as Council members to say that it's complete. Mm-hmm. As far as all the fees being paid, and also that the Fry Corps regulation that was on there, the environmental study, and they were going to use the old, in a sense, I guess, the 5126 agreement about the access road, if that could be applied to this particular lot as well. And my understanding was, I guess, that it was applied. We didn't have to come up with a new one. But again, we don't have any confirmation of that, and we haven't seen it. If it's wording exactly the same as before, that's fine. But if council sitting here is the approval authority saying that the application is complete, I'm just thinking that maybe, you know, moving forward, that we actually have confirmation in some form saying that it is complete. And I don't want a situation where, and it's happened before, where we say it's complete and we find out that maybe there was something missing. As soon as you say it's complete, of course, everything starts into motion. The clock starts. So I'm not distrusting staff, it's just more confirmation since we're the decision makers. So we can actually see it.
Yeah.
Any further discussion on that one? All the questions then? All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Resolution 25-365 with Councillor Keckinen and second Councillor Ryland. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee meeting minutes of July 24th, 2025 for information purposes. Any discussion of those minutes? Councillor Haskin?
Yeah, I'll bring up a couple items on that in
further comments, questions? Councilor Rudd?
Do we have any concerns about what's under new business under item number one? About the committee looking for an opportunity to consider an applicant before council approval? That's a precedent to my knowledge, at least, anyhow, and I have fairly limited knowledge that way, but I don't believe we do that with any other committees, do we?
Councilor Hassan?
Okay, that's one of the items I was going to discuss in my report.
I figured that was just going to be in there, but.
That's the way it was done always throughout the decades, is if somebody applied to be on a committee in the township, it would go to, staff would forward it on to the committee and ask if they have any concerns with this person joining the committee, which usually is no, we're not. It's always being, yeah, we want somebody new on the committee. That's usually how it always is, and that's how it always was. But for some reason, I think what happened the last application where somebody wanted on the recreation committee is they were totally unaware that all of a sudden somebody's appointed to their committee and they didn't even, were not even made aware of it.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't even aware of it. It came to a council meeting, it's like, oh, there's a resolution to appoint somebody. It's like, yeah, okay, we want members, and they were just, the committee just had no say, just totally caught in left field. So I'm just wondering whether it would be a nice thing to forward to a committee so they're aware of an appointment coming up, more so than saying, no, stop that person from being on the committee. I don't think that's ever happened and probably never will, but it's just so they're aware that somebody did apply. So that's where that came from, that resolution.
Councilor Ryan?
I'm aware that members were appointed to the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee that was unknown to the committee members themselves. And I understand exactly the concern, and again, we're trying to find the right fit for both the applicant and for the committee, I suppose. But yeah, the way this is worded, I don't really have a problem, other than to me, having not had this happen before, other than, well, not happened, that we had the committee review it before it was approved. But I support the idea, it's just that it's different than what we've done in the last few years, in my experience, anyhow.
Yeah, it can work both ways.
Yeah.
You can have a committee that becomes very insular. They only want certain people on that committee. So that's the other concern, I guess, in doing this, whether that could be worded in such a way that they're told, I mean, they receive the information, but is it the committee itself making the decision who sits on the committee, or is it council?
They could. Council could take a recommendation, and
right.
Then it would obviously bring on more conversation between council and the committee. It's like, you have a volunteer and you're not accepting them. That would warrant some discussion if that did happen. But I just can't ever remember it happening. I really don't think it would, but well, that's a good thought that in case it did happen, how would we deal with it? I think then it would be conversation when the recommendation from the committee, could be any committee, says, no, we don't want that person. It's like, what? So obviously there'd be another meeting, say, well, what's going on? Are you refusing volunteers into this municipality? What's your reason? You may
right.
want that in a closed session.
You see, it has happened. I'm thinking of the community center and the recreation committee at the time, too. And you had somebody who wanted to sit on the committee, and that person was allowed to sit on the committee. And voted against everything. But they still had the opportunity to sit there, and the other committee members then got a little upset that this is a team player or not.
Yeah, and a lot of times they'll weed themselves out. Yeah,
right.
That's, and not to say it hasn't happened on a committee I've been on, it happens with kind of, and after a while they'll resign because they're tired of whatever they're trying to accomplish. But and you never know, a committee member may have information on somebody that might be worthwhile, you know, and that it's so worthwhile that the committee would say, yes, red flags are up, this has got to go back to council for their knowledge.
It's just interesting, what you do on the rec committee, do you go into closed session, if that's what happened?
I've never had to go into closed session. As far as, yeah, it was on our agenda, the appointment.
Right.
Yes, we probably wouldn't think of going into closed session because it's been so often that you just look at it and say, yeah, we'll take that person. But I guess if somebody said there's a problem here, I request that we go into closed session, I guess we could do that because, yeah, you wouldn't want to start talking about somebody that's maybe no facts, you'd have to find out facts.
Councilor Zulai?
I was just going to say, so if it went to the committee first, how would council know that any applications, not that I'm not trusting the committee, but how would council know that maybe an application to go on that committee didn't even get past the committee?
Well, the committee would pass a resolution, then that would come back to council.
Yeah.
Say, yes, we support that appointment, or it could be a resolution saying we do not appoint that.
That's what I mean. If they don't support it,
right.
Like, I just would want to make sure that the application did get to council,
well,
one way or the other.
Yeah, it has to, because they're appointed by council.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm saying it doesn't just, no, we don't want that guy.
Oh, no. We're on council, still on council's table.
Yeah.
And again, that's, it's going to be a rarity that ever happens, but it's there as a protection in case there is issues. Because we don't ask for police checks and that to sit on a recreation committee, which you are supervising children's activities sometimes. Now it is our rule that we do not have one-on-one unless you have got all your checks in place kind of thing, but we just don't ever put on events where it's one instructor on one child, so we don't go there.
Any further discussion of the minutes? Call the question. All in favor? No polls, Gary. To 17.2, we've done 17.1 already. Resolution 25-366. Moved by Councilor Hassan, seconded by Councilor Zulak. We have resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PW-2025-07, request for winter maintenance on Foxfire Road from Public Works Superintendent Thomas Stillman. And further, the Council declined the request from the Foxfire Road Extension Association, FFREA, to extend winter maintenance to the 770-meter stretch from 6 Fox Farm Road and Watkins Lane at this time due to safety concerns related to inadequate turnaround space, the absence of full-time residences, and the need to first review the township's existing winter maintenance routes for safety and efficiency. Discussion. Put this out to council first. Now we've had the report from Public Works Superintendent, and certainly it's a comment too that we're going to apparently have another report coming on all of the ones, all the roads that we now provide winter maintenance for. I think part of this is probably the change in personnel and staff and the view of what we've been doing, and he wants to gather some more information. I think the one date that was set out for that was September the 2nd, our next meeting, to get more information on the ones we were doing. We started this, and of course some of us have the history of going back 2009, I think, and 10, to help those people on those particular roads for the winter maintenance. And even it all started with mainly the unassumed, although the ones we do now, not only the unassumed, but the summer maintenance. You can tell from the resolution that we've done those. And I guess the resolution itself reads that there are certain conditions that have to be met, and one of them is the adequate turnaround. The other is a year-round residence, and it was always left to, now the latest resolution said lead hand because we were in the transitioning period with employees, but now we're getting this report from the present Public Works Superintendent, and I guess I'll put it back to council to look at the history of what we've done. We certainly want more information from the Public Works Superintendent, whatever he discovers. I'm not sure that we've had a full report from him saying what the problem has been in the past with the ones that we are doing right now. I know we are always concerned about financial, and we asked for costs. We didn't get any costs said that, we have plowed certain roads over the years for the past 15 years. And I guess what we have to look at, is this any different from what we've been doing? Is there more information to come, new information that we're not aware of? I can't recall any litigation that dealt with what we've done over the past 15 years. So I think that report, whatever he comes up with, will have more information about equipment, I guess, and staff, and what he's been encountering since he's taken over that position. So what I'm going to throw here as a suggestion is that, and I know time is of the essence here as we get this result, September 2nd is not that far away. If we can actually defer to get more information from, but just from what I've said, I want council to consider what we've done in the past and why we did it, and what we've continued to do over those years. We took some away from the list of Schedule A because they've been assumed by the township. And they were on that list, particularly in Craigmore and in Bailey subdivision. So we're reducing the number, certainly. We have a couple of situations out there for the unassumed. It's left now in the those people's hands, the residents in that area, to come back to us with the proposal that we've put forward. But for the summer maintenance, those are already in the township name. They're already assumed for summer maintenance, and we've been doing the winter maintenance for the past 15 years, as I said, on those. And they're delineated on there, too, in the resolution. I think what happens over the years, I mentioned this before, I think of Jones's Road as an example. Brownlee is another one where people tend to think, okay, it's being plowed now, that it's year-round maintenance by the township, but that depends on the resolution continuing. And even though it says it's going to be reviewed each year, it's not something that is guaranteed that it could be taken away. We haven't done that. We haven't taken it away for 15 years. So I want you to consider, and I know I think a few of you anyway have gone out and looked at the site location, and we are plowing already to six, I guess it's Fox Farm Road, is that the number?
Yeah.
And there's a turnaround there established over the winter. And the question is, has it been investigated? We might get more on September 2nd for the turnaround of Watkins Lane. I know last meeting we discussed going down over the hill, and that would seem to be, I don't know, wouldn't go that far because that's a very dangerous hill, certainly. And even though it is township and mapped out very well, certainly, Ms. Chester, who sent that to us, we do know that it's summer maintained down over the hill, past that bay that comes in, and partway up the other hill. That is all a summer maintained township owned road. But as far as providing winter maintenance, and they're not asking for that, what council has to consider is Watkins Lane. I can't say a bridge too far, there's no bridges. Is that going too far, or is it something, as I say, I'd like to know more from the road superintendent on what he's saying about our other roads, too. I believe they've been plowed. Well, we haven't heard of too many incidents. Mm-hmm. So if there's something going on, whether it be, let's say, with equipment, with staff, or what we've been doing for the past 15 years, and we should know about it, it'd be news to us. And I think the one issue that he was raising, again, we need more information from him, is the fact that it's becoming a more litigious society, I suppose, that if anything goes wrong. But I've always argued that it's a township-owned property, and regardless of whether we're actually doing winter maintenance or summer, township's probably going to be named in a lawsuit, so if it's township property, and even if it's a road allowance that's never been opened. We don't often run into that, but because we have agreements there that they would sign if they agreed to open it. And certainly with Fox Farm Road, that was very detailed. It was something unique to the township when it was first put in. There was an agreement that all the property owners signed off on. And that road was somewhat unique too because it veered off the road allowance as it went in and onto some private property and then back onto the road allowance. say this is something we can get more information on September 2nd. I realize they want information right away because they have to talk to a contractor. And but there might be new information that we're not expecting from the Public Works Superintendent as well that might flavor what our decision is going to be. But well, the council wants to defer at this point to get more information. We can deal with the motion right here. It says no. And I've just given reasons why we've been doing it for so long, but that this one is really perhaps not much different. Councilor Cagney.
We could defer for more information, but I'm just looking at the map that was provided in the correspondence dated August 16th, 2025. It indicates that from Lakeshore Road down past Watkins Lane, it says Fox Farm Road, assumed road. So that is assumed by the township past Watkins Lane?
Yes.
Okay, so
it's summer maintenance, assumed.
Okay.
Councilor Zulak, you had a point?
I was just going to say I would prefer to defer it and make sure that we get a full report so that we have something to look at. And, you know, on the problems that apparently there is on some of the roads that they're doing and the turnarounds, what you need for a turnaround and other things, so we can make a better judgment.
Councilor Keck.
As well, if the report can address the issue that's raised here, that there are full-time residents that are living beyond Watkins Lane, because that is one of the criteria that we've used previously for winter maintenance for roads. But the report seems to indicate that there's an absence of full-time residences, whereas the correspondence of August 16th disputes that. So.
Yeah, the way the resolution reads, for at least last year's, is that the clerk makes the determination on year-round residence. But I'm thinking that there's a fine line here, and I'm thinking I see where it comes from. Again, we haven't talked to the Public Works Superintendent about this, but his recommendation, I think the argument is that on that stretch up to Watkins Lane, there's no permanent resident. Not in further. So I think there's a thing that we have to discuss. It leads to permanent residences, yes, but we're not maintaining the road that has a permanent resident on that maintained portion. And if you look at the other ones that we're doing, quite often, and this is where it gets complicated, the person who is year-round is at the very end of the road. But we have been maintaining those just to get in there. West Road's an example. Not every year somebody's lived in there, but when they did, and I think they still do, then that one is maintained. Now that's sort of, it's listed as a summer maintained. It's sort of a colonization road too, if you go back through the resolutions. It used to go right through there. There were people who farmed out there and brought the milk into the cheese factory into the village. We just stopped doing that, but especially after the cheese factory burned down, I guess. That's going back quite a few years. But I'm thinking too of Grail Road. Now that's a little different in there because it's a more permanent residence, but for a number of years it wasn't fun. Until a letter came from the residents saying that, well, we're in here year-round, we have school children, and they still had to get the way out to the highway, the bus wouldn't go in. That's another whole issue, of course, which roads will go in and which ones they won't. But that wasn't plowed every year, but now it is. We had a situation back in Craigmore. We were plowing Craigmore, and they asked if Lakeview could be plowed, just above it. And there were no permanent residents on Lakeview. There was a Craigmore. And they argued that they came up in the winter. That was a little different than living there year-round. And so, but now, since then, of course, it's all been assumed by the township that they're all plowed. That criteria doesn't really apply anymore. But I think that's what he was doing in his report. I can't speak for him. Maybe he can speak more to it in his next report. Probably drawing that fine line. section.